are you doing? I thought it was number three, but...
You were. Yeah. Nobody wants to be first. Okay. Sorry, Brian.
Okay, no bad. When Anne was reading there, it reminded me, my daughter gave me a book for Christmas. It's tiny to think. It was called Fucking Apostrophes. And that's what they are. This is a childhood memory. I'd say probably around 1959, I was 6 or 7, and my mother and myself, she informed me that we were going out to see my nanny, who I didn't really know, to be honest with you. She was my grandmother, and she lived in a little cottage, beautiful cottage. And the fascinating thing was that she cooked in an open fire with a big crane. And she used to get me to stoke the fire, and I'd have to pace it, and if I was going too fast, she'd stop me. She was a bit austere, you know. She was stern, very tall woman. But she was from Ballinacarriga in Kilworth, and this is called Once Upon a Time in Ballinacarriga. A green wicket gate, wild rose bough, noisy gravel path, cottage door. My tall, thin old nanny, grey hair in a bun, bright blue eyes, long blue apron, face bereft of fun. She's cooking on an open fire, big old iron crane. She sits me down beside the bellows, now keep the turf ablaze. I turn and turn the iron wheel, rhythmic primal scheme. Fire glows, gooses cooked, tempo, throb, heartbeat. Thank you.
Well done, Brian. Next we have Seamus Harrington.
Six or seven. The hunters. Slipped our vivid orange mooring, all around us water shimmers on a sleepy Sunday morning while we stash away the fenders. In our wake the dinghy's bobbing as we square away the foredeck. Not a sinner seems to notice by a contemplative heron on a bowsprit he is perching. That old Kelvin runs forever. She's the sweetest in the harbour, not too smoky when she's warm, with a thirst that's rather meagre. Let me see, your fancy tackle must have cost a pretty penny. It's the latest carbon fibre, skipper's busy in the wheat house. Would it lift a Jackie Dory when I fix my autopilot? We can plot the sharpest course to find your promised destination. It's the graveyard of a U-boat. I take the wheel and navigate to Pullman Marker in the distance. Dip for cod and frantic mackerel, or an isolated haddock. Don't say no to brill and turbot, or perhaps a migrant tuna. Everybody, let me know if you see baked divine and gannet on that sparkle of high water. We can fathom out the places where they congregate and linger. Hard astern for a moment, that's the signal. Action stations, ready weapons for the swordfish. Till the engine. Swelling silence, it's so eerie than the plaintive ring of clear and present danger. As a clapper bombs the casting, cause our bulbous bowwake rocks a buoyant apparatus, chained and shackled over bladder rack, a haunt of inshore, ling and conger. Telltale bubbles as its spiral sinker tears a length of catgut from its urgent screaming ratchet. Gather round me, said the bosun, gotta tell a fishy story while we're holding our position. Not too closely, pointed someone in a welter of excitement with the angle of the dangle. Nylon's almost sure to tangle. Here be scary monsters lurking if we hook a longer fellow. Then the last day and the record would be broken, we'd be famous. Here's a summer school of anglers and our oceanic mission. Now the merry whistling kettle mimics jet trails off to starboard. Hear the hoochie-coochie rhythm. Never mind the footsie index, gently lapping past our transom. hope a tasty tidbit won't be stolen from my spinner, leaving empty lures as unproductive as the barest bottom section of a topless, spotless mermaid.
That was quite the cold machine, this was on. Tickle of fish and chips on the way home. So, now all the way from Berlin, the big youngest shot, we've got Marcel Kruner. If I've got that right. Woo! Come on up, Marcel.
Okay, first of all, I have to say, all words are stolen. And I got held by a deaf person and by a living person.
A living person, sorry.
The deaf person is Kenneth Branagh. I read the book, The Wind in the Willows, and suddenly the words inspired me, and I thought, use some words there I wouldn't use normally, and it was a good exercise to get familiar with the foreign language. And then I brought the poems to my English teacher. She corrected a little bit of things and said I should read them. So I read the second one, and they are constructed like a catechism. Let's start with a question, and you will get the answer. And the question is here. Is nice the only thing? Nothing really seems to matter. However, whether you get away or whether you don't, whether you arrive at your destination or whether you reach somewhere else, or whether you never get anywhere at all, always be nice to yourself in particular, especially in the morning, and have a long day of it. Exercise. Wiggle your toes from sheer happiness. Spread your chest with sighs of full contentment and lean back blissfully into each fresh revelation of desired companionship. Absorb the new life you will enter and your spirit revive again. A dreamer goes on dreamily long waking dreams.
Marcel. Mary Nagel.
You've got sparkle on your eyes, 10-year-old child, a sign of the times. Your lips will soon turn red, and your skirt embark on its secret ascent or vanish, making drafts on twin sticks of pale Irish ash. Will you weigh down your ears? Will you lighten your head with boy talk and the gas and celebs? Will you welcome your breasts or petition that they be transplanted and recast into football form to make themselves useful? You're headed for a tunnel girl of sexual confusion. It's dark in there and hard to hide. Makeup will not save you. Better beautify your mind.
This is one I wrote today. It's called Labour Activation Measures. Because I'm on Job Seekers Allowance, I'm sent to this company specialising in labour activation measures. They put you through a course of classes on how to address our new god, the employer, and how best to sparkle and to please in the interview striptease. Giving our best answers to those old questions, why do you want to work with our company, and where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? As if I really knew and if it really mattered. All this sprucing up and veneer, for that most miserable of ends, a career.
Patricia Walsh.
Thank you. This is called Imperial Weights and Measures. Imperial measures that again defines you. No key to answer, circling like crows. Eating under duress to save one's head. Instead of breeding or industry, new topic. Walking alone in the near dark and whoring a vacuum. Extremities on fire, given your circumstance. Keep strolling, the exercise will do you good. Pray that we're not zoned from tenderness. Shopping like a vulture and a necessary exercise. For the sake of mammon and God like no other. Rippling across the fountain, certified insane. Protecting local trees from massacre. Regular service bleeds from demand. The watchtower over innocent building shines. Local girls screaming with joy over impermanence. Pointing out the very last, drink permitting. Saccharine glory, self-conscious on the ready. Gifts left and right, hatch of the Lord of Court. Sparkling lights everywhere, standing company. With the blood of the sky, tell the time better. Clockwise, anti-clockwise. What is the problem? Necessary utilities obscured by fun. Fear of the constantly known, stationary on motion. Mourning a distant date for occupation. Thank you.
Well done, Patricia. So next we've got Mary O'Connell.
Most people, when they get gifts of potted plants, are quite happy. My experience was somewhat different. It's called Amaryllis belladonna. Something rising from the earth invades my life, flaunts shamelessly in my place of refuge. For weeks it lay folded in its verdant sheath, then slowly pushed out its raw obscenity. Interlocking petals mimicked loudspeakers that blazed out without warning. A trifid broadcasting calamity. It stares me down, daring me to look into its crimson gullet. Fading into black. Yellow stamen at its lip protrude to mock me with a snide gap-toothed leer. Why should a gifted pot plant snarl my peace? Could the seeds go back to adolescence, coming upon the secret bloom of blood?
Charles. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, I think probably all right.
It's okay?
Yeah, I think probably. Untied. My tie is my trump, with which I intend to trump Trump's ace by long-distance telegraphy. Precedents suggest that my tie will outlive Trump. I still have my Dior of the 60s, Yves Saint Laurent, museum quality at all, and use it to inaugurate occasions and trump everyone in the room.
I like it. So the next reader put his form, his name down in Runic script, but luckily he put it in English Roman alphabet before that, so it's Philip Spallan.
I used to do that all the time. It's been a while since I did it. this one is, I wrote this morning. I'm a bit of a bad day, so I just collected different thoughts inside my head and morphed them into one poem, so this still sounds a bit unsubtle, that's the reason why, and I hope you like it. It's called, Daffodils. Bridget, acquit your changing resentment, your emerald mental still salted with frost. Your children are cold, shivering feverishly, peppering the streets, the toys they have built. You've morphed into an old woman in an old bolted house with window shutters closed and the heaters turned to maximum, with the broadband broadcasting formal patterns to an invisible point that eventually land in your head like a node. And you've forgotten your garden and your daffodils. Thank you.
What will I do if I don't marry Hoser? I'll open a petite lilac cafe, serve the local drunk sausages that look a little grey, and welcome the hairdresser who dishes out the latest goss while I bring her apple tart and custard sauce. I'll become the newest member of Parliament and strike a few pointless arguments, bag a pension and ignore the issue of birth prevention. Perhaps I will be the next Rosanna Davison, drink my super green smoothies and take my Pomeranians to the movies, after Pilates Plus and a single hazelnut. I could always be a dog sitter, slathered in slimy Labrador kisses, and opening back doors before my beige carpet is covered in yellow pisses. Oh God, please let me marry Hoser. We'll meet at a yoga retreat in an enchanted forest in Guatemala, surrounded by birds with purple wings and yellow beaks, a place where a tall young fella will go for a leak. But not Hoser. Oh no, he comes for peace, calmness, tranquility, and spots me instead, his future wife, with existential flexibility.
Molly, you should forget about that hoser. There'd be plenty of propositions for me. Benjamin Burns.
This poem is called Self-Hindrance, and you were talking about, you had a poem about corporations and trying to be your friends, so that they flatter you, you know. I was reminded of one ad, that AIB ad, where it's like, you're brave, you support brave. And then I was also thinking recently about the phenomenon of self-help books, and that same it's the same kind of thing, where it's like corporations are making money out of people by telling them that they're great and they can get through things. And I think that kind of rhetoric has started to come into people's personal relations and things, and it's kind of, it's interesting. So this is called Self-Hindrance. Tie your shoelaces together. Drink half a liter of vodka. Attempt to walk. Break a leg, literally. Use alcohol as a crutch. Take up chain smoking. Eat 10 bananas in under a minute. Shoot yourself in the foot. Always remember that you are worthless, and your skin is dry, and your hair is dry. And the only moments that matter are the ones that have already happened, the ones that you regret.
Chris Laverty.
Okay, thank you. So it's called Fallen Days. It's just one poem. Okay, here we go. They stole from heaven fire to meet their needs. Raised up, they less felt nature's fitful lash, whose pitiless waves their hopes and rocks would dash. Knowledge then gleaned, their wisdom's withered seas. As soon they fought themselves with crimson and creeds, and always somewhere could be seen the flash and heard the distant din of armies clash. As graves they dug and glory called their deeds. The ruins of their ancient realm we saw, a civilization from unremembered days, where vines embraced their colonnades. We gazed on fallen palaces, shrines, and courts of law.
Mike Linehan.
My apologies if this slightly depresses you folks. It's called Cork 21. A person passes through no recognition.
Sorry.
A person passes no recognition. Life is just a shadow wall. Walking by in Quayside. No bottle, no drugs, no human being. Walking in the rain, a car passes. Someone screams, you tossers. Never met nor talked. Feelings unseen, head bowed. Another day, another time. Breakfast, slim bodies. Lunch with anxious hands. Hot food, a smile so rare. Dinner, a burger, a grand parade. All day, just to walk. Night, some bench or doors glance. Warmth, the bottle. The stench, a nighttime sleep, 10 minutes of lucky. Always shifting. Moving, says Cork of modern age.
Well done, and sorry for disturbing you, but my microphone wielding lack of skill. I'm in a regular relationship with it. So, Michael Newman.
I read two poems every time. I wrote this on the 3rd of the 9th, 16. I got the idea actually, I was reading Robert Graves and I saw one of his poems where he said, hate is a blight in our lives. And as was for myself, I had a few resentments against people, and usually when you have resentments, you only destroy yourself. So I came up with this anyway, this poem. Stop the rot before it's too late. Don't get caught in a cycle of hate. Love will dismiss worse the bills, costs far less than any pills. Better by far to forgive and forget than go to war and be full of regret. That's one of them. So. And I'll read this poem. I think I've read this one before, but I kind of like it. I'll read it again. It's about, I grew up in a farm near Kentuck, and I suppose times were different, like, you know, there was the old machinery, and there's a few things in, you know, that many young people, you wouldn't understand, that there was a thing called a tumbling paddy where they gathered hay, and you tumbled it when it was full, and my uncles and everything would come and help on the farm to pipe the hay for the winter, like, and this poem is about that. Well, yeah, I was telling you, my mother would come out, and she would bring the tea in a sweet gallon, the old sweet gallon full of sweets, so the tea never tasted, that was since, I never tasted tea as good since. So this is how it goes. And the poem was actually instigated by a visit to the open farm in Grenade in 2014. I wrote this the next day. Some of the names, you probably won't understand the names of machinery, but I read anyway. Names defunct, man as Sergeant Pierce. Heavy cumbersome ploughs, sunken overgrown drives. Upturned skaters show their spikes. Tumbling paddies rotting in the ticket shadows. Shirt-clad, sweat-drenched men piking the winter store. Days that will come no more. Hay floats gathering dust. Odours of must. No more of use. The horse and the haggard grown loose.
That was great, Michael. So we've just got two more readers, so if there's anyone who didn't give me your name, that would be a good time for you to come up. Anyone? Did someone say Joe or? Did Joe want to go?
Yes, no, I've retired.
This man here, come up, this gentleman here. Yeah, sorry, what's your name?
Connor.
Connor.
Have you ever gotten the feeling you've been cheated? As in, what you get is a lot less than what you were promised, or even it's a distorted version of what you were promised. It's kind of an idea. This one's called Price Tag. You want to hear my truth? You won't like my truth, because your world, the ground you walk on, is made of gold, at least your dreams. When might is paved with rot, at least in mandatory and voluntary shackles, where you build your own cell and you lock yourself in, and I refuse to be submissive to a world that doesn't give a shit. A world that makes excuses for death and misery. A world where all are merely barcoded numbers in a system based upon greed. They need bodies for their prison cells, for their factories, for their call centers, and for their kitchens, to be used and thrown aside like the end of a cigarette. Our expendable nature is so painfully apparent. We represent profit, not lives. Do you feel depression from spending most of your life working? Well, do you know what? Try chemicals. Chemicals will make everything better, especially the prison cell. Is it really in our nature to accept being blindly led like this? And if this is our future, then ladies and gentlemen, the human race is dead.
I always do new stuff, but I did something on Saturday with the lads, with this three here, so that's kind of cheating. Okay, if I have time, I'll just do two short poems and a short one is played. Okay? One is a bitchy poem and one is a mushy one. A complicated love, simple joys are boring. Judge and analyse. Truth is hidden and slightly shocking. Wrinkled noses, raised eyebrows, peering ivory towers. When good folk must be bad, and just moments for perilous hours. Oh, complicated, stimulated, always praise complacency, savoury and savoury, topsy-turvy decency. Always peer behind facades and tweak the squinting windows because cool and calm, plus ça change, pray the regular reclaims you. That's the bitchy one about the nosy old ones at all that always give you old books. And then the little one about going down to Dingle in the murky rain and missing the view, but then getting a gorgeous drink in the pub. So, Asia and Mint were stripped from our seas that day. Only putty grey green straight the waves like a platysma of Visra, like a clean, like a lace mantella on the aftermath of each crescent. Undulating, ululating. Fluid walls transport their ebbing power past us on our transient headland. Watching to the stillness, his eyes see that beauty too. But then, the tingling of a fleshing tang, on an afternoon as cool as the South Pole Inn, sipping in the warmth of shy smiles with lithographs in 1911, spot someone they named places for. Inversion fog lung tone low on the hills, and as I wade towards this ball, I wade into my heart. With a tingle of anticipation of him I sing, the Dingle gin has a ring to it, it makes me want to sing from it, and nibble the cool lemon rim of my glass, and tingle with the jingle with Dingle, Christmas is past and present now. The dream I had then, and closing my eyes, I see it again, each look that stole my heart. So that's that one.
My boy named for the lion's heart, who's packed mine in a cardboard box, stole it away to the dark lake. My short burst of joy when you fell on shadowy charms did not make a fool of it. It made a savant, for when I lost my heart, you were formed in all your perfection. To take you back for your own sweet self once more. You Molly and I and you and the dark lake will glow, cause there's a ruby in blue, and my warmth will flow straight back to you. And my warmth will flow straight back to you. My boy named for the lion's heart, I stole not a silver box, place it each night by my pillow. That way I can rest my head with you. And that close as I can be from now. You are me and I am you and the dark lake will glow, cause there's a ruby in blue, and my warmth will flow straight back to you. And my warmth will flow straight back to you.
That's for someone I know that lost their children for a while. So now we'll shut up now. If you have the time, I'll just do the song Paul, I did for someone that's missing out of my life right now. So the song is a song that was taught to me last week by someone on a Monday night. Okay.
The lamp is burning low upon the table top. The snow is softly falling. The air is still in the silence of my room. I hear a voice softly calling. If I could only have you near to breathe a sigh or two, I will be happy just to hold the hand I love on this winter's night with you. The smoke is rising from the shadows overhead. The shades of night are lifting. I read again between the lines upon the page the words of love you sent me. If I could know within my heart that you were lonely too, I would be happy just to hold the hand I love on this winter's night with you.
Fish out.
The fire is dying now, the lamp is growing dim. I hear my glass is almost empty. The shades of night are lifting, morning sending through. The webs of snow are drifting. If I could only have you near, sigh to be the sigh or two, I would be happy just to hold the hand I love on this winter's night with you.
Thanks for indulging me.
Last but not least, Christy Parker. Right. Sometimes it's kind of hard to decide what you're going to read when you've got that choice of poems here. But there's a kind of an intimate staying in tonight type of an atmosphere about this place tonight. And I think Meg's kind of accentuated it there with sort of a kind of smoochy type of it. So we'll keep the mood sort of romantic, I suppose, in a way. Like I don't often read from this collection that I brought out in 2007, but I'll make an exception tonight. Because we want to keep the mood loving, as it were. So this is a love story, albeit it's kind of a sad one. stops are offset. We're set in the middle, and Christ, it's been set after 10 years. It's called Me and Myself, a Love Story. What you just said. I was out and about every night, never missing a club or pub crawl. I flashed my smokes, cracked some jokes, told stories true and tall. I tried to be kind and I was sincere. I paid for taxis and takeaway beer. I dressed up well and the aftershave smell told you when I was near. I spoke to girls for hours on end. I was careful to care and not to offend. I patted their pets, even settled some debts and did my best to blend. I nurtured my luck and I learned to cook and I always lavished with praise. I even cried when their old folks died and they carried their coffins some of the ways. I drove girls home, I lent them my phone, I invited them in for tea. But it was all such a waste, for I was nobody's taste. No one, but no one, could go out with me. Thank you. I shall try to continue. But I said to myself, I won't stay on the shelf. I won't let my emotions be bled. If I can't get a date with a feminine mate, then I asked myself out instead. So I arranged to meet me at 3:15 to go for a walk and a chat. I showed up on time and I got along fine, and I arranged to meet again after that. I'd say, here's the deal, I'll go for a meal, and after that, well, let's just see how I feel. I could stay out till late in the town on my date, or perhaps an early night might have been. Sometimes I'd hold hands and I'd stroll on the strand and bring myself out for a beer. But one sharing two drinks in a corner, I'd think someone called me a drunk and a queer. As people do. But I didn't mind, and neither did I. But I was so happy with me. And I wasn't too shy with people nearby to sit myself up on my knee. I'd walk myself home and linger some more at the front door chatting away. Then I'd take out the key, go in and make tea, and inquire if I wanted to stay. But you can all relate to this, can't you? But the aching would start if I wanted to part, for I just didn't want me to go. And I'd plead with a smile, oh, please stay a while, for I miss me more than I know. I had so much in common that I could not go wrong on whatever I wanted to do. I shared the same humour and the truth and the rumour, I shared the same bedroom too. But while I'm not possessive, I was getting obsessive that one day I'd meet someone else, and I feared of the danger I'd fall for some stranger and break the heart of myself. So in a short while I bought a mobile whenever out of town on a trip. I proved very effectual that the affair turned more textual with every blip, 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 blip. But there was sadness in store, and I saw myself more, and I watched it all slipping away, for I knew me so well that I always could tell what I was next going to say. Bedtime became boring, and I'd almost got snoring as I lay looking up at the ceiling. And it's like it was numb when I grabbed my own bum and I knew I was losing my feeling. The entire situation soon led to frustration, and the outlook grew desperately bleak. There were mood swings and things, and it still makes me cringe. I didn't talk to myself for a week. Then one night, out of spite, I had a big fight, and I remember each hurtful word still. I bought 4 rounds of drink and kicked up a stink when I refused to pay half of the bill. I was sober and plastered as I called myself bastard and other names that were not very nice. I aimed a chair at my head, hit the barman instead, and he came round and threw me out twice. Out on the street, I quickly got to my feet, threw a punch at myself in the mouth, kicked myself in the groin, and a punch in the spine, took a bottle and knocked myself out. I'm sad to report that I ended in court, where I sued and was sued for the trouble. A 300-quid rap was the judge's sharp slap, which he then decided to double. The very next day I went my separate way and never once called back or phoned. You take a big chance when you embrace a romance, and I'm better off being alone. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll read you when I was going to read. This is kind of a follow-on to that adventure, if you like, I suppose. Well, it strikes me there might be, anyway. It's very short, and it's called The Bad Day. It was a bad day, it's a very bad day now. And it goes like this. The rent is overdue, the budgie has the flu, the dog is coughing too, I've worn every shoe, I've not had sex in 2002. My wife says we're true.
The guys were around and spec about a stolen check from a waiter from Quebec. I got it in the neck. They left the place a wreck of a filthy fucking crew. The hash I got on tick made me paranoid and sick. I overdosed on Evo stick. I said, doctor, help me quick. He said, not you again, you prick. Get in the queue. I've got 40 bills to pay and another on the way. I'm on 60 fags a day. Packets, that's to say. People call me the ashtray. Wouldn't you? The TV detector swore like many times before that he'd kick in my door and a massive fine and more is what I have in store. 6 months in lieu. I've got typhoid from the sink and my car is on the blink. I must be the weakest link. I think how much lower can I sink before I'm true? I'm on tablets, herbs and pills. I've asked the real bills. I drink poaching from the hills and I've written 13 wills. And nothing ever kills. So my legs are turning blue. So everything is wrong. Every girl I know is gone. I'm hooked on Roy Orbison. I'm in every fucking song. Bob, I'm putting another on to make it two. I'm on Valium and Prozac, panic attack and no crack. I need to get back on track. The day has gone to black, not blue. I say to my psychiatrist that peace for me does not exist. And here's another twist. I think I've got the gist. I'm on God's hit list. It's true. Yes, I'm going round the bend. I don't know where it all will end. I wish somebody would send me on a special friend to help my life to mend. Any one of you will do. Thank you.